Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Welcome to the April 23rd edition of Without a Roof Radio program. I'm your host, Guillermo Mash. We air this show twice on KZFR. This slot, 5 to 5.30 Mondays, 5 to 5.30 on Wednesdays. You can also check us out. Big social media presence, both YouTube, Tumblr, WOARROF.TUMBLR.COM, Instagram, Twitter, and beyond. Good show today. Going to be hearing from Scott Huber to lead the show. Scott is a Chico City Council candidate who is hosting an affordable housing forum Thursday the 26th. And we have a guest on the show I've wanted to bring on for quite some time, and we're making time for not only this edition, but several more as we close down the Without a Roof Radio program, switching this time slot to the Chico Vibe July of this year. Guillermo Mash here for the April 23rd edition of the Without a Roof Radio program, and I have in the studio for a pre-record Scott Huber, who is a candidate for Chico City Council. Welcome to KZFR, Scott Huber.
A pleasure, Bill.
Before we get into talking about this affordable housing forum that you're going to be hosting this coming Thursday, give us a little bit of a bio on who Scott Huber is and what we need to know.
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm a city council candidate for the 2018 election. I'm sort of making the basis for my platform what I think is the biggest issue facing the city right now, which is all of the ancillary issues surrounding homelessness. My background, I moved to Chico in 1979 from Southern California, graduate of Chico State. I've worked in the area for the last 40 years, raised my kids here. I was on the school board from 2002 to 2006, and now I'm ready to take on a bigger responsibility.
For our listeners, I'm going to read a little bit off of the Facebook event for the forum. And basically, we've got Chico, a listening engagement, Chico Affordable Housing Forum. That's going to be Thursday the 26th from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's a free and open event to the public. And that's going to be at New Vision Church, 1600 Mangrove Ave. Maybe fill us in on some things that we could add to that I didn't mention.
Sure. Well, New Vision Church is headed by Jim Peck, who, if you've been in the community much, is sort of a really great representative of the religious community. Very open-minded, very fair-minded. And I saw him at a State of the City, sort of an State of the City address here about 2 months ago.
Yeah, the Slow Theater.
Yeah, exactly.
State of the Chico Union, I think it was. Yeah.
Right. And afterwards, I said, Jim, I'm looking for a place to hold a forum to where people can talk about trying to improve the affordability of housing in Chico. He said, I'd be happy to host it at my church. So there you go.
Just read a little bit more. It's off the Facebook event. It says, with home prices averaging over $300,000, a 1% vacancy rate on rental housing, and lower than average wages, Chico is facing a crisis of home availability and affordability. Our panel brings together experts in developing and building, along with those who work to find housing for citizens. So what can people expect at this event?
I think they can expect a pretty broad range, and I'm trying to segment it a little bit. I had a bit of advice today from Brooks Thorlickson, who's with Habitat for Humanity. She suggested that I focus somewhat on housing sales and that end of the market, and then rental housing and that end of the market, and then sort of very low income as opposed to just low income and middle income. So we'll try to divide it up a little bit and hit a little bit of all of those various aspects of the housing challenge here.
Tell us a little bit about the panel. Who's on the panel?
In addition to Brooks, I've got Richard Hunt, who is a specialist in workforce housing. So expect to hear a little bit from him on how we can create affordable housing so that employers thinking about coming to the area have a place that their employees could actually afford to live. Bill Broward, who is a developer here in the area, been here for very many years. And so we'll talk about what's involved in developing more affordable housing, whether or not that's possible. Randall Stone, who, in addition to his role on the city council, was a big part of an affordable housing project down on either 8th or 9th, I think it was 8th Street. Ed Mayer, who is with the Housing Authority of Butte County, he's going to be my go-to guy for facts and statistics on housing availability. Lauren Kennedy, who's with the North Valley Housing Trust. She's also a real estate broker in town. Part of her specialization is communal housing and a fair amount of low-income housing. And then Bob Trausch, who, of course, is with the Chico Housing Action Team. So we've got, I think we run the gamut there of niches within that field.
Listeners just joining, we are speaking with Scott Huber, candidate for Chico City Council, who's hosting an affordable housing forum Thursday, April 26, 6 to 8 p.m. And I'll just kind of add a little insight on, folks may not be familiar with what affordable housing means. Affordable housing means paying less than or equal to one-third of your income in not just rent, but basic utilities, whether you're paying housing insurance, you know what it's costing you to live in your home. And anything above that is quote-unquote unaffordable housing. And there's a dramatic amount of people, and I'm sure Ed will have some numbers, that are living in situations where they're paying more than half of what they're bringing in. I know people on the street, Scott, that are paying like 98% of what they bring in.
Hey,
every single dime they've got is going towards their housing situation.
If your SSI is $800 a month and that's your sole source of income, you know, a third of that is $275 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
There's no way you can live on that.
No, not with dignity, that's for sure. And the other guest we're going to have on after Scott is Mary Galvin, and she works with Social Security Disability Advocates. And I happened to speak with Mary today, and within the last 3 days worth of time, I know three different people that have the same scenario, slightly different, like everyone's story, but three people. The one that's in public space is Mama Rose, 3 years ago, in-home supportive services. She was caring for her husband. Husband died, lost that income. She's on the street. She's been on the street since. This is an interview with Mama Rose in the spring of 2015 as she was clinging to whatever housing situation she could manage just to keep herself off the streets. And a couple of months after this interview, she landed on the streets and she's been there ever since. How much have you spent on the hotel room up there?
So far, $2,605.
Since when?
Since the 5th of the last month.
That's all because you can't find a place to stay and you have no income?
My husband died, I had nothing. I lost my husband, I lost my house, and I lost my Sundays because I can't even cook. You know how it kills me right now that I can't cook? It makes me cry.
But I know physically two people that I've spoken to in the last few days, Scott, that are in the same situation where one of them literally went homeless. I said, I haven't seen you in so long. It's good to see you're doing well. What happened? Oh, I was an IHSS worker. My client died. I was staying in the home. And there's another one, someone that I work with a lot that helps folks that are homeless. So I think folks, I'm bringing that up because some folks may not have the understanding of how dire the situation is when you've got, I only know, those are just three. I'm sure there's dozens, if not hundreds of people that are living in a supportive services environment where they're providing services and getting paid, but that's their housing. And then if something happens to that patient, they no longer have any housing.
Bill, there's a lot of us and them out there right now. And the reality is that people don't realize that we are them.
Yeah.
We're just one step away. I met two people this way who are in very high profile positions in Chico. One admitted to being houseless right now without a home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person that is well known in the community. The other told me that he had been without housing three times in the last 20 years. And he's in a position of dealing with homeless people in Chico. So It's much more prevalent than we realize. We're much closer to that reality for ourselves than most people are brave enough to admit to themselves.
Yeah, it's such a stigma to it. It's not like you raise your hand and say, I'm homeless, and now you're on the New York Times bestseller list. It's a really disparaging, you know, community-wise, and a lot of people don't want to identify as quote-unquote being homeless, so a lot of those stories fly under the radar, and that's kind of the work I've been doing for the past 7 years. But the other one that's concerning to me, I know I'm going to get into too much of this, but off the record, Scott, I'm telling you, I don't know how many off the record conversations I have had around homelessness. Many. I can't actually have a conversation of any length where someone doesn't say, hey, off the record. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, I've told these people, I'm like, if people just knew what we don't feel comfortable about talking about, they'd be outraged and want to do something. So there's so much stuff below the tip of the iceberg that's frightening. It's absolutely frightening.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Now, is it going to be a public Q&A, right? So people can actually come and get some of their questions answered?
Yeah, so the first hour will be all my questions. The second hour will be all audience questions. And I'm hoping that a lot of people bring some, you know, bring it on. Bring some good stuff for these people.
Why don't you pick a question or two out of there and we can talk around it a little bit.
Sure. You know, just some, I think, pretty basic ones. How do economics encourage or discourage construction of affordable housing? So with what's going on currently in the market, with what market prices are, what does that do to developers wanting to spend their time building one-bedroom units? I'd like to hear a developer tell me the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's another one. How can tenants protect themselves against rent increases? You know, there are all kinds of programs in other cities, rent control. Is that something that we should even think about for Chico? What are the pros and cons to it? I don't really know anything about it. The reason I created this forum selfishly because I want to learn the answers to a lot of these things myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to hear what the professionals have to say.
Yeah, I mean, those two I couldn't answer. You know, I could take a swag at it, but I'd rather have someone that actually works in that area. So I applaud you for doing that. The other thing I talked with Mary about, and I use the term poverty pimps, but there's no management at all of single living spaces in Chico. And we talked about, you know, with privacy concerns, because Mary, once again, I'm talking about Mary, who works for Social Security Disability Advocates. Mm-hmm. She's ground zero for this. She's talking to a bunch of people, you know, clients that are homeless. Many of her clients are homeless. But the bottom line, for people that might not be familiar, if you own a home, you might go, hey, I'm going to turn this two-bedroom into a six-bedroom, and I'm going to charge, you know, everyone that lives here $600 a month. So that's going to be $3,600 in rent. And I could only get $2,000 if I rented it on the market.
Right.
They're using this quote-unquote SLE, and this absolutely no management. There's no quality control. And a lot of people are getting abused. They physically get abused in those situations.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to explore a little bit at this forum is this accessory dwelling unit, which is the sort of the newest buzz as far as creating more housing. And I think that's great unless the price that these accessory dwelling units rent for is astronomical. I mean, what ought to be happening is if you're building a tiny house in your side yard, you ought to be charging a tiny amount of rent for it. That's what we need.
Yeah, whether they can give some tax credits.
We don't need $1,200 garage conversions.
Yeah, exactly. And there's quite a few. It's an interesting housing market, Scott, because there's a lot of those type of dwelling units in Chico already. And you've even like the apartment complex I have, I wish they kept building it that way. But I'm in the middle of a residential area with a four up, four down apartment. These type of living arrangements are really good because, you know, it keeps the neighborhoods, you know, you've got people living in a diverse neighborhood versus kind of saying, hey, let's just put all of our low income housing here where we don't want to be.
Right.
Any other questions we might mention before we shift to closing comments?
Now? Oh, let's see. I mean, they're all pretty much similar. I've got a list of about 30 questions here. Mm-hmm. Some I have designated for specifically for certain people. For instance, Bob Trausch and Brooks, you know, how do their programs, in Bob's case, how do Chat's programs impact the overall market? And how can Chat play a bigger role in local affordability? What has to happen for them to be a bigger player and to provide more inventory and to get more people housed?
Which is what it's all about, is getting more people housed, you know? I'll go back to that whole us versus them, and I told Mary this quote, my favorite quote from Work in Poverty. The next time someone tells you someone's homeless by choice, ask them why it's only poor people choosing to be homeless. Right. And you can't bend that. If you're homeless, you don't have any money. You know, you start the discussion there, and that's really, it's poverty that's the worst form of violence, Scott. I'll definitely circle back and announce the event one more time, but any closing comments?
I would love to have people who are actually experiencing the inability to find affordable housing. I've got a couple of people that I've invited, and I hope they speak and give their perspective on it, because that's a very valuable perspective.
Once again, Guillermo Mash here for KZFR 90.1 FM with Scott Huber, a candidate for Chico City Council, who has on his own put together a really nice forum, Chico Affordable Housing Forum, next Thursday the 26th, 6 to 8 p.m., and that's a free and open event. New Vision Church, 1600 Mangrove Avenue. Thanks for coming in, Scott Huber.
As always, thanks, Bill.
All right, just wrapping up that interview with Scott Huber, candidate for city council. And I want to applaud Scott Huber for taking a leadership role on this issue. You know, I'm fairly well connected within the community, and I've had conversations with people that are connected in the quote-unquote democratic community of that are looking to, you know, help get candidates elected. And the word from them and the word on the street is, oh, you know, homeless issues is a can't win thing. And, you know, we really shouldn't be focusing on that. And, you know, we should kind of like just push that under the rug. Obviously, I'm ad-libbing. But these people that quote unquote call themselves democratic strategists are so far off the mark. We need people that are going to take leadership on this issue. And I'm not saying that Scott Huber is the only one, but he's the one that's been on the show and has actually have said, look, we're going to have to make some tough decisions, but we can't just keep doing business as usual or campaigning around poverty with the shh. Guillermo Mash here for the April 23rd edition of the Without a Roof radio program, and it's my pleasure to have Mary Galvin from Social Security Disability Advocates, and that's located right here in the KZFR building. As soon as you get off the elevator, right to your right is where Mary and crew work on folks that need help with Social Security disability. Thanks for coming on the show, Mary Galvin.
Thank you for having me.
What else do our listeners need to know about Mary Galvin before we delve into Social Security Disability Advocates?
Well, I was on the KZFR board for 4 years, and our office is on the same floor as KZFR in Suite 402, and we help people get their SSI and SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance benefits.
So you see, that's a KZFR show, run the gamut. So you see the gamut of folks in need, and many of whom are folks without residences, correct?
Absolutely. I would say about 60% of our clients are home challenged, as I call them.
I don't think folks are aware that quote unquote Social Security disability is not supposed to be the full and complete income for the person that's receiving it. They're supposed to have some other level of support. Because certainly if we could say someone's making $1,000 for a Social Security disability claim, which is pretty high end of the claims, they're not going to be able to live on that. What could you add or contract from that?
Well, if you get SSDI, which is if you've paid in, so if you paid FICA on your taxes for all those years, in essence, if you get disabled, no matter what age you are, you will collect your Social Security early. So if you've paid in, it can be significantly more than $1,000. But if you're an SSI claimant, which stands for Supplemental Security Income, that means you're aged or blind or disabled and indigent, poor. Mm-hmm. So there's a cap on that. And the cap is you get in Butte County currently right now, people who get SSI, Supplemental Security Income, get $910 a month. And once they qualify for SSI, they can't qualify for food stamps. So that goes away. Prior to getting SSI, they can probably qualify for food stamps, but they don't get that luxury, as it were, any longer.
When is that, like 180 a month?
Yeah, 192 somewhere. Seems to be the average.
192?
Yeah.
It seems like the same thing would apply for the SSI, Social Security Supplemental Income. Am I getting these terms right?
SSI is Supplemental Security Income.
Okay.
And then the SSDI is Social Security Disability Insurance. Think of it as kind of a paid-in insurance policy.
And you're just collecting. So folks that may not have paid in enough to the system
will have a dual claim where SSI will step in and make it up to the amount of $910 a month.
That makes a lot of sense. So if they're, got it.
Supplements it.
How many folks that are quote unquote without roofs, how many of those are having to apply for SSI versus SSDI?
Many more. It's mostly SSI are the people that are without roofs, but some of them have worked, so their SSDI amount is low. So then they would get supplemental security income to supplement the paid-in amount.
So let's transition a little bit to the housing situations. You know, I talk to a lot of people that are either facing eviction or have gone through the eviction process. How big of a caseload do you see the folks that are in an eviction, either post or pre?
Post a lot.
Post?
Post a lot. A lot of these people are one paycheck, one injury, one catastrophic event in their life away from not having housing any longer. And the rents in Chico have gone up so incredibly much that even if they were to qualify for their $910 a month on SSI, it's virtually impossible to get a reasonable living space for that kind of money.
No, totally.
You can't get a one-bedroom apartment anymore. You can't get a studio. I mean, it's outrageous, the amount.
So just to clarify, let's say someone came to your office and you filed a claim and they had no income at all. Would they, as long as they were quote-unquote qualified for the claim, would they get $910 a month? Or is there like a sliding scale saying, you're only about half disabled, we'll give you half of that, and then, you know, you're on your own? How does that work?
Social Security, when you're at this level of disability and non... And it's kind of a misnomer to call it a disability program, because it's really a work program. So it's your ability to do work. Disability... Mm-hmm. It's a work program, so if you can't work, this is sort of the safety net for Americans, for people that live here that have paid in or haven't. It's safety net for our people, so you don't go completely without. So if you qualify for SSI, you would get the whole amount, 910.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear things that make sense. The numbers should be a lot higher.
But absolutely.
Is that not how it's set up? It's not geared to be the full and complete income, certainly as it relates to SSI, supplemental.
Well, if it's supplemental, if you're on
by
either
definition.
If you're on either program, if you're on SSI, SSDI, if you've paid in, that's a supplemental. Mm-hmm. That's you can have assets, you can have benefits, you can have a car and a house and all those things. If you're on SSI, you're limited to $2,000 worth of assets. And if you go over that, they'll dock your money. You have to be very, very cautious if you're on SSI about what money you do make. You can't have at any given month more than $2,000 worth of assets. And if you work, you have to report it to the...
And then that's called supplemental. So there you go.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
That answers
right.
my own question.
Because it's called, you're supplementing your own income. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I just see such a cadre of woe that comes out of that whole process.
And it's a lengthy process. It takes, 2.5 years sometimes. It takes a long time, and people have to get good medical care. And they have to keep moving forward with that. And that's how you win cases. And that's how people get their benefits, is if you have good, consistent medical care. And that, again, is another problem that we have in this country, that medical care is not affordable. It's not provided to all. It's a privilege. It's not a given. And I think a lot of our problems, as far as social problems and economic problems, would fare better if we had some sort of single-payer program in place.
Mary Galvin is the person that we have here on the KZFR Without a Roof radio program for April 23rd, and she works for Social Security Disability Advocates right here on the fourth floor of the KZFR building. Come on up to KZFR. Instead of going left into KZFR, go to the right, and you'll see that the office that Mary has, and she shares with several other folks that work with people that need help, man. You're working with the people that need help. What else do we need to know? What goes on in Mary's office as it relates to poverty, the worst form of violence?
Well, we help people from the beginning of the process to the end of the process. So if you're thinking about applying, you can come and ask us questions. We can help you from that step. We can guide you to other resources that may be available out there. If you're without a roof and you're, impoverished, or you're, you're homeless and looking for some avenues to go down, we're there to help people. Mm-hmm. We give back.
it's a for-profit business, but you are paid only when the claim is
absolutely
approved, right?
Absolutely. We only get paid if we win. It's a for-profit. Yep, we couldn't afford to do it. It'd be great if we could do it for free. But it's a for-profit, and we only get paid. Nothing comes out of the claimant's pocket until the end, and then we get paid by the Social Security Administration the back benefits. So they don't have to write us a check. They don't need to do any of that.
So it's like how much, like a 10 or 20% or something?
25%.
25%.
Yeah, the back benefit. So if somebody is, you know, disabled 2 years ago, then we get a chunk of that back money.
Oh, that's interesting to know. So then that it's not a chunk of the money going forward. It's the chunk of the money since they filed mm-hmm. claims with Mary.
Since they filed claims with us 2.5 years ago.
Before they came to Mary.
Yeah, or when they came to us.
Or when they came
filed
to you.
With us.
So
And so nothing goes out of their pocket. We don't charge for incidentals or anything at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, if stuff was more expensive in our area, it might be. But yeah, it's and that's governed by the Social Security Administration. Mm-hmm. And my husband, Kevin Hendren, will take the claimants to the hearing if necessary, if they have to go to a Social Security hearing, because there's a 3-part process. Your initial application, and if you're denied, you can request reconsideration. And then if you're denied there, you can go to a hearing in front of an administrative law judge. And Kevin represents people at those hearings.
I can't, at least for my mind, because having spoken with you and understanding what your office does, Mary, it would seem like any client's a terrible way, maybe it's a good way to phrase this, so that's the way I'm phrasing it, comes to you and says, I lost my benefits and I'm have a hearing coming up. I would think those would be clients you're like, yeah, we're going to do this. Let's get involved with these, right? Because they already had SSI, right?
Yeah, cessation. Those are called cessation cases. So mm-hmm. what happens is you can collect your benefits for a long period of time and then Social Security does a review. And then what happens is when people make $910 a month, they tend to be homeless or have a transient sort of lifestyle. And I don't want to call it lifestyle because that's a word that I don't want to. They live sort of a transient life because it's not a style. It's not a choice. If people wanted, it's just not. So, but they will get cut off for one reason or another. As if Social Security will send them to a medical exam and they'll miss it. And then they get cut off. Man. And so they don't know what to do or where to go. And they're, you know, hanging out there. So yeah, at any stage we can either help you or direct you where you could get help or give you information. And we deal a lot with people who are sans homes, as I say. And it's really the increase in the past few years has been incredible.
Yeah, just to add to what you were saying about the lifestyle, you know, next time folks that listen to the show have heard this many times, but next time someone tells you someone's homeless by choice, ask them why only poor people make that choice.
Exactly. That's what a lot of these people are indigent and, you know, lack education and lack skills to be able to maneuver this system and maneuver even housing. You know, applying for a Section 8 voucher is it's an incredible amount of paperwork and hoops to jump through.
Do you help them with that too?
No, but I can direct them to the housing guy who I have a good rapport with.
Yeah, I love the housing authority. I probably know whoever it is.
Yeah. And they help. That's not easy to do.
And only 10% of the people that get vouchers actually house up. The housing market is so dire.
I don't know what's happening in this town.
Happening everywhere, which is no excuse for Chico. Any town, because that's actually what's happening a little bit, Mary. Well, it's happening everywhere. Whew, thank God. We don't have to handle it then. Right?
It's insane. I've seen the prices and it's just, you know, if somebody's asking for $2,500 for a, you know, a 3-bedroom house per month per rent, that's a mortgage. I mean, that's a mortgage for a rich person as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I couldn't afford that. So it's just housing's a real problem in this town, and I hope we're going to make some efforts to do small housing or whatever is on the list of how to help it or build some more affordable apartments for people. Because the people that we see hanging around the park and sleeping outside are people just like us. So there's no reason to judge them. They're in a bad spot, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. So you know, we can give back. I've never been hungry. I can give back.
Thank you, Mary Galvin, for being on the Without a Roof Radio program.
You are welcome. Thank you, Guillermo.
Guillermo Mass signing off for the Monday edition of the Without a Roof Radio program. Tune in, 5:30, Wednesday, same thing, Without a Roof, twice a week here on KZFR. Coming up next, talking about practice here on People Power Radio.